freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode number 439 of Gun Freedom Radio, where we engage, we educate, and we inform. We are brought to you by azfirearmsauctions.com, where you set the price on guns, ammo, and accessories. I am one of your hosts, Cheryl Todd.
And I'm the other guy, Dan Todd. Our theme today is leaders versus legislators, and our guest is Dr. Bob Branch. Dr. Branch is a 2024 candidate for Maricopa County Supervisor in District 4 in Arizona. He's a veteran, a businessman, a Christian conservative college professor, and the commissioner emeritus of the Maricopa County Park System. As a commissioner, Dr. Branch has extensive county government experience and wants to bring experience to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Branch.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, and you hit the emeritus wonderfully. So
I just
rehearsed it before. Yeah. That we wanted to be sure.
You saw her back up though, right? She was like, I was saying it, she's saying it too.
I love it. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you on. We got to meet just a few short months ago at, it was an NRA event that I was speaking at. And we just immediately hit it off and, you know, just found this common thread of values and interests. And a minute later, I realized, oh my gosh, you are running for a seat that is very important to me and where I live. That is that Board of Supervisors here in Maricopa County.
So I have a question for you. So there's somebody in the back of my head that's asking, what is the Board of Supervisor do?
I love that question. We'll have Dr. Branch answer it.
So the Maricopa County is the second largest voting block in the United States. Second largest county. And the county, all the budgets for all the services and all that is regulated by the County Board of Supervisors. So you have five supervisors overseeing a little over $5 billion in money, but also we have about 4.5 million people in Maricopa County. So you elect, there's five districts, so each district elects one board member to sit on that board and to basically oversee the county. And that's what they do.
That is a huge position that most people, we don't even know. When we walk into the voting booth, we're like, Board of Supervisors, I don't know what they do, but I kind of remember hearing this name. So yeah, we'll go ahead and check their box. You know, sure. The name for their name. And then when you realize how much responsibility we are entrusting to each of those five people, we really need to know more about the position itself and the people. And we need to hire people with our votes that we really trust. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is to help people know you better, what your experience has been, and what you are going to bring to that position that does require such a humongous level of responsibility and trust and fiscal responsibility.
Sure. Until the 2020 election, Nobody really even cared about the Board of Supervisors. Now, throughout the entire world, everybody knows about the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors because of our election integrity issues that we've had.
True. It's so true. It really has become forefront But what is it that you are going to bring to that position, should you be successful?
Well, and thank you for the nice introduction. Yes, I am currently in my seventh term as your Commissioner of Park and Rec for Maricopa County. So I have extensive county government experience. I understand the position. I understand working with many of the different agencies, for instance, the Sheriff's Department, Maricopa County Department of Transportation, schools, worked with them, with most all of them over the past seven terms. So when I look at this, I look at who has a successful record, who has a record in the county and understands county politics. And I believe that, you know, I sincerely that I'm the candidate to do that. When I took over the park system for District 4, you know, we were just coming out of the Obama recession, right? We had just sold the state capitol, several of the executive offices. We were hurting for money in this state. There was talks about layoffs. There was talks about closing parks. But Max Wilson put me on this commission back, well, like I said, seven terms ago. Max looked at me and he said, Bob, I want you to be my commissioner of parks. And I said, Max, what do I know about parks? And, he said, well, Bob, you're a businessman. And I am. I'm a businessman. He said, well, and you like hunting and fishing. And well, that's Southern for hunting and fishing. And I said, I do, Max. And he said, well, you're a college professor. And I said, I am. He said, you'll figure it out. And so I put the business hat on when I came there. I had one charge. That charge was you have to do it right, and it has to echo for 50 years. So you got to make the right decision. You make the right decision. You can't just do what's the decision for today. It's what's going to be the right decision for the next 50 years. So we started growing the parks, and we started adding to the parks, buying Hacienda River Preserve, for instance, and bringing that into our park system. Completing the Maricopa County trails, spur crossing, adding in government land. We bought government land up on Vulture Mountain. Now we're building the Vulture Mountain Regional Park up in Wickenburg, and that's another one of my parks. So, you know, we ended up over this course of of my tenure growing this into the number one regional park system in the United States. So I bring that experience to the people of Maricopa County, now to the Board of Supervisors. I've always had their best interest at heart, and I've always, you know, looked at every one of my decisions, what will be the best decision for the next 50 years.
So what is the board of, so the MCBOS of, have to do with elections?
Well, that's a good question. So the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, like I said, they control the budgets of all those departments. So the election, the county recorder, which does a lot more than just elections, right? They're deeds and, you know, making sure that, that everything is recorded correctly for the county. But they're also in charge of elections. Maricopa County Board of Supervisors put overseers after the 2018 primary elections inside the county recorder's office. So it's kind of like a marriage now where the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors actually has control on day of election for election day. So, and if you go down to MACTEC, Maricopa County Election Tabulation Center, if you go down there, you'll see that there's a lot of Maricopa County board people working in there.
And that's, just something that just kind of happened, right? The voters didn't get to pick, didn't have a say in it. And then here comes the 2020 election and there's so much contention. And I think maybe some of that is where everybody's pointing fingers at each other, either saying, well, it's not us, it's them, or my favorite is, well, this is the most secure election of all time. And, no, the public doesn't know what to think. And so many of us have just grown worn out from hearing about it and hearing the opposing you know, rhetoric about it and the finger pointing. And so, you know, whether we think that the current Board of Supervisors did something right or did something wrong, I think that maybe we're all just really ready for some new blood, some new faces, people that we feel that, you know, are coming in having the same experiences that we did of a frustration, and go in there with this new set of information, and then enter Dr. Bob Branch.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I agree with you. We have each one of the five supervisors are up for election this year. And Clint Hickman, I was in this race before Clint decided not to run again, but this seat is vacant. So, you know, whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's vacant. We need new leadership down there. And that leadership has to understand that there is an election integrity issue and has to address it. That's my number one priority. When I get elected, my number one priority is restoring election integrity for this county. Because if you do that for this county, you know, this is the, almost 70% of the people in this state live in this county. So if you fix this county, you're going to fix the election integrity issues for the state. You do that for the state, then you're doing that for the nation, because we see that the nation all has eyes on us right now.
Yes,
so we have to fix that. So whether you perceive that there's an issue or whether there is an issue, somebody's got to go in and address that. Now, I firmly believe that there is an issue. I go back to the 2018 election. On election night, I ran for superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona in 2018. That was Adrian Fontes's first election as Maricopa County Recorder. In that race, I was running against a three-term U.S. congressman. I guess God wants me to run against congressmen. But I was running against a three-term U.S. congressman and the incumbent. Now, on election morning, I knew that I was ahead in the polls. Mm-hmm. We had a phenomenal campaign. I was the only one really involved in education. So we went into that day knowing that we were ahead. But I started getting calls early in the morning saying the polls are not open in our area. In fact, 11% of the polls were not open on time. Most of those weren't even open until 11 a.m. in the morning. Wow. Now, they were telling people that showed up to vote, well, go down to another precinct and vote. Cast a provisional ballot. Well, those are called illegal ballots. You cannot do that. But there was over 10,000 of them. So on election night, I was ahead. The next morning, I was losing. Then I was ahead, and it just went all the way like that throughout the rest of that week and the following week. On the day that they canvassed the vote, and the Secretary of State announced that I won, only to have about an hour and a half later, we got revised numbers from Maricopa County. You lost by 249 votes.
Wow.
Well, all of this is public record, because they said, well, proof. Well, we do have proof. The County Board of Supervisors called Adrian Fontes in, and they allowed me to talk. And when they allowed me to talk, I went through every issue. No one was sworn in at any of the polls, so there was no chain of custody for any of the ballots. Mm-hmm. They were transferred in a non-secure manner. Steve Chukri, who was the chairman of the board of County Board of Supervisors that year, called Fontes back up and said, well, Dr. Branch laid some very serious charges. What do you say? And he said verbatim, there is no such thing as a perfect election. Well, Steve Chukri got very upset. He said, that's not good. You can't just say that. Were the polling locations open on time? Fontes said no. Were they open up until 11? Most of them were all back up and running by 11. Okay. Were anybody sworn in? No. Were they transferred in? And he admitted to everything. But they still canvassed the vote. They still passed the vote. And, you know, when Abe Hamadeh lost by 280 votes in his last race, I went up to him. I said, I'm the only person in the state that understands how you feel. But back in 2018, no one cared. Well, there is an election integrity issue here, and we have to solve it. We Thank have you. To solve it.
I 100% Thank agree you. With you. I can't pinpoint what it is, but if why don't you make it right? Fix it so there's no question mm-hmm. about integrity. Just, you know, it's just like you in your personal life. If you have integrity, then no one will doubt you.
Right.
Okay. And it's sad to me, but we're not even allowed to say election fraud or election integrity because we might get kicked off of YouTube or some of the mm-hmm. other things because they don't want it out there either, that there is question about our elections.
Which is crazy. And it doesn't have to do with, well, here's what people have said to me. Well, you just want Trump in office, you know, or you're just trying to throw shade on Biden. I'm like, no, how about I would just like to know that every vote is handled in the way that it should be handled, period, end of story. Why isn't it about that? Because that's really what I'm trying to say. Go ahead.
Well, no, going back in that 2018 election, there was 10,000 people, more than that, that were disenfranchised because their vote did not count because they were told to do something wrong. The polls were not open. The county recorder did not do his job. And what about those 10,000 people? That whole election could have changed.
Yeah.
The whole tone of the election, you know, going in and looking at credentials into the general election easily, handedly would have beat that opponent instead of a three-term U.S. congressman going against a teacher, right? So mm-hmm. The whole, our education system would have changed. Mm-hmm. Everything would have changed, but they were all disenfranchised. And it's funny because the left always talks about disenfranchising people. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're doing here in Maricopa County, only they're doing it to the right. And when they do it to the right, no one cares. It's like, oh, yeah, like you said, the criticism that you're getting. The only thing that I'd put in there is, hell yeah, I want Trump to win. So that's the only thing. And I'm sorry for swearing on your show. Okay.
I just want the elections to be, I don't want any doubt in the elections. We can run an election without any doubt. And when we have doubts, they need to be questioned. And if we find that there are problems with it, like we did with that election, then they should either fix it or redo the election.
That's Absolutely. Right.
You know,
That's
so, right. But now I question this. So there's going to be five of board members, you included in that, you're going to make it. And what if the other four are like just the old school, just want it to be the way it is. And you don't, how do you fight five people? How do you fight four people?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that. You know, there's the old saying that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? Well, that's not a board position. The board is only as strong as its strongest member, right? Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important. People, I have to tell you this. It is so important to elect the right person, the right leader that can lead that board, mm-hmm. right? And I found that when I, because my commission for parks were a board. And when I first started on that board, there were some very weak members of that board. And they allowed a couple of the others to just run the board, right? Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people that were running the board. But today, I've made sure that we have very, very strong board members. You know, I challenge them, you know, don't come in and just, you know, okay, how am I going to vote today? Mm-hmm. Do your research. Look at what your community needs. Actually get out into your parks. Actually look and see what you need because, you know, Mesa's parks affects the parks on the West Valley as well, mm-hmm. right? So we have to look at that. So And when you look at a board member for the County Board of Supervisors, elect somebody that understands everything that's going on in the county. For instance, mm-hmm. if the state government wants to dam up Bartlett Dam, they want to raise that up another 60, 80 feet. Well, okay, that's fine. You're going to create a great water reserve all the way back to Horseshoe Lake, and that's wonderful. But what about the people that live in Paloma, south of Gila? Water's going to dry up. Mm. Buckeye's water is going to dry up. Where's that water going to come from? Well, you're filling that lake up. So you have to have a board of supervisors that understands holistically everything that's happening in the county. They just can't show up and say, okay, here's District 4. That's all I care about is District 4. No, you got to care about the entire county and understand the inner workings of all of the county, right?
Exactly.
How the cities interact with the county. You have to understand that. You know, that's why it's so important to not bring in a legislator from Washington, D.C., you know, even though, you know, good job, you know, in Washington. But the thing is you haven't, you're not a governing official in the county. You don't understand county politics. And that's what we need. We need leaders. So when you look at who's running, please look at leadership, but also look at, are they a legislator or are they, you know, somebody that understands governance and business? Because you want somebody with a business hat on as well, right?
Well, Bob,
absolutely,
Dr. Bob,
we do.
Dr. Bob, if I want to elect somebody that's going to spend my tax money, I want a veteran. I want a long-term resident Arizona.
That's true.
I want a Christian. And I definitely want a businessman that knows that if you spend money wrong, you go out of business.
That's true.
And the problem with a lot of politicians, they do not, I don't want to say politicians, I'm going to say people who serve the government, do not understand money, business.
Well, that's right. And if you look at other positions within our county that are elected positions, for instance, the superintendent of public instruction for Maricopa County, 2 years ago, they ran a $2 million deficit. Last year, they ran a $5 million deficit. The question is, why didn't they fix the issues? Why are they running deficits? And why is the county board of supervisors every year bailing them out? You have to ask that question. And that's why, you know, and that's a very important job. You have to look at our county recorder. We have to get rid of the current county recorder. You have to have somebody that's going to work with that new board because they're going to have a new board. So you got to have somebody that's going to work with it that understands that the primary goal is the election integrity. So you got to get somebody in there that believes that there's an election integrity issue and not that one that just said, as you pointed out, it was a perfect election.
Do you have anything to do with the property taxes as well?
Well, that's the treasurer's office as well, okay. Right? And also that's community as well, right? Any, you know, whether it's Glendale or whatever, because they have property taxes. And it's also a state issue because you have to understand that education for the state is paid through, you know, property taxes as well. So,
okay.
Absolutely. So this question, I'm really curious how this, the answer is going to be. You say that you're a Christian, conservative, college professor. So that sounds like an oxymoron right there. I'm not sure how you blended those two things together. But also, how does your experience of, you know, being a college professor and yourself being highly educated to have a PhD, how is that all going to translate into the job of a county supervisor?
Well, I appreciate that. My faith is evident where I've taught and have been teaching. So at Liberty University, you know, in early 2000s, I designed a master's program at Liberty University. I was asked to join Liberty University, which was a trip because you sit in front of a bunch of theologians, and that's harder to say than emeritus, by the way.
Theologians, you're right.
Okay. So you said, and they ask you a lot of very specific personal questions, like when you were saved. How do you know you were saved in that? But teaching at Liberty University really grounded me as far as being able, because I've taught in secular universities as well, but also teach Grand Canyon University as well. Someplace I could say, God bless you and not be threatened about, you know, being fired. So I really enjoy that. But where that translates and yes, it is, it sounds like an oxymoron because every day you hear about how liberal our universities are. Well, and that's true, but there's faith-based universities out there as well. I'm not saying that they're not a liberal, leaning more to the left than right, but very much Christian faith-based, and you're permitted to share your journey with your students, and that's wonderful. Those are great universities. But I've also, not only do I have a master's degree, but I've designed three MBA programs for three different universities. Not only do I have a PhD program, but I've designed two PhD programs and a doctorate in business administration program. I've accepted leadership roles in everything I've ever done, being dean of education, dean of technology, campus president, campus college chair of the school business and technology. So you have evidence that I have accepted leadership positions in everything I've done. So when Max asked me to be the commissioner of Park and Rec, I could have just said, well, thank you very much. That's nice. I'll sit on the board. I'll show up. Oh, yes. What do you want me to do? Or you can take leadership of it, right? And that's what I've done. I've demonstrated leadership. So I want to take that and take the leadership aspect to the county board of supervisors and say, okay, this is the way it needs to run. Let's all get on board. Let's get on the same page. And instead of just showing up to board meetings and being told how to vote, I actually want us to affect how the votes are going to happen, to understand that the public needs to be involved in this process of anything that needs to be done by, if it's being voted on by that board, then the public better have had some input into it, right?
Absolutely.
So I want to bring that into it. So there's a trust issue that people can see what my background is, but there's also, you know, a leadership concept to it as well, plus the business concept. You know, it's one thing to be a business leader. It's another thing to actually be able to design MBA programs. So, and that's on a global basis, right? So
yes.
I bring all of that into this.
Well, that's tremendous. And off air, we were talking about your new commercial that you've put out there that kind of, well, didn't kind of, it came to fruition because, you know, the idea of we must have thinking and educated and informed voters who are then use that education and information to place their vote to hire people. Talk to us about this commercial because it's very clever and funny, and it uses zombies. You know, us in the Second Amendment community are always looking for the zombie apocalypse that's about to happen, and you know, maybe it's already happening and it's our voters.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, I like something that you just said. It has to be in that thing because you are hiring them for
yes.
a job.
Yes.
You're electing people in, but the reality is this is a job interview and you are hiring the person. And it was funny because I was talking to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and Sheriff has been a friend of mine for an awful long time. And, you know, Sheriff, he's endorsed me in this election. And he, you know, he told me, Bob, if you could just get the people to think, you will get elected. And that created the whole theme for this campaign, because let's look at it, you know, and yes, I want to personally thank the individual that did this, John Talbert, who actually did this commercial, and he's doing several other for me. He's extremely creative individual. But it is the mindless zombie. We vote like mindless zombies, right? We just, oh, I know this person, let's elect. And what we end up doing is we keep getting the same government. And, you know, that now that's $34 trillion in debt. You know, that's a lot of money, right? But we keep voting that way without thinking. Well, this gets you to challenge to think, and especially about my opponent. Why does a U.S. Congresswoman who says that she wants to retire from Congress so that she can spend more time with her mama and her family, right? And that Washington is broken. It's like, okay, why before she even gets out of that office, is she jumping into a county office? Then you have Clint Hickman. He was on Politics Unplugged with Dennis Walsh. And he said to Dennis, he goes, hey, on the day that I announced that I was not going to run, Congresswoman Lesko called him up and said, tell me what this job entails. I might want it. Well, Congress people don't go from Washington to county government. So I want people to question why. Mm-hmm. Why is that happening? Well, if you look at now, the answer has been reported out there by the Arizona Republic, AZ Central, 12 News Media, Bram Resnick, a bunch of other people came in and they reported it. Congressman, my opponent has a retirement from the state for her work in the state legislature. She has a legislation and she has one from the federal government. Well, if she just serves one term in this office that she didn't even know about until a little over a month ago, she will 500% increase her retirement by 500% just serving one term.
Wow.
That's amazing to me. Then when we look at why our government is in $34 trillion in debt, maybe it's because we're paying retirements to congresspeople after 5 years of service, right? Mm. Maybe it's because we allow them to pad their retirement by 500% by serving you. Well, after a while, that's self-serving. It's all about the money. And that's unfortunate. That really is unfortunate. You know, I wish the congresswoman would just retire, enjoy that. And, you know, if later on she wants to run for something else, that's fine. But don't just jump into a race you knew nothing about up until a month and a half ago. So that's what this commercial hits on. And it gives the evidence there. It's not just Bob Brandt saying it, you know, and it's very creative how John he did that video. And I'm very proud of him, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I have to see it if it's got zombies.
it's very clever. Yeah.
Another volunteer that works for me on Sunday, we were over at an event at Dale's feed shop up there on Waddell. And she seen the commercial and she goes, well, you know that I worked on the set of Walking Dead in Atlanta. I got a whole garage full of dead people. Let's bring them out. Let's bring them out. You know,
so
you never know how talented your volunteers are.
It's so true. Just don't let all those people in her garage vote, because we got plenty of dead people voting. Apparently they always vote Democrat. I don't understand how that works, but.
And they're from Illinois. I don't understand that either. Right.
My goodness. So we've been sort of, you know, talking about this and hitting it as we're answering these other questions, but I really want to focus in and once again say that you say you are a leader and not a legislator, that you're a leader, not an opportunist, like it sounds that, you know, I otherwise love Debbie Lesko. We've done great work together. When I visit Washington with the Women for Gun Rights, she's been great on the Second Amendment, that sort of thing. But this move does really kind of smack of being an opportunist. What really that we haven't already said sets you apart and makes you the candidate that people all across Maricopa County, all those 4.5 million people are going to storm the voting polls to be sure that they mark for Dr. Bob Branch for MCBOS?
Well, and I appreciate that. It has to do with the experience, right? Again, a legislator, and we need this in the world today. I remember growing up back in the, you know, in the 60s and that, there were people working across the aisle, and there was people that really cared about America, and there was people that, you know, wanted to see good things happen for our country. Unfortunately, you know, in the last decade and a half, maybe 15 years, 16 years, has been very polarizing. So if I'm a legislator, I can show up and I can say, okay, well, I'm going to be a member of the Freedom Caucus, for instance. How does the Freedom Caucus going to vote on this piece of legislation, right? And that's what they do. And we need that. And it, right or wrong, in this world that we live in now, we need to put that check in there against the left's agenda, right? And we need that. Now, even in the legislature, there is leadership positions, right? We see it all the time. People that are leading their committee, right? For instance. Well, I look at somebody that has accepted leadership positions with inside committees as leader. So unfortunately, my opponent has not led any of the committees that she has been on. And that's alarming. Put together just two pieces of legislation. She sponsored two pieces of legislation in almost 6 years. And to me, then you're just voting rake and file, right? And one of them was to rename the post office at Surprise. And that was important, I guess. But you know, the reality is, what has the person done? Right. If anybody looks at my past, they're going to see nothing but leadership roles. Right. Throughout exactly. Whatever I've done. And I've accepted that, you know, for instance, Maricopa County, you know, it, with Maricopa County, I've been the chairman of LD 13, Legislative District 13. So not only was I a PC, but I was chairman for two terms. I said, that when I was elected, I said, I believe in two-term limit. After two terms, I got out. And but I accepted leadership roles as far as serving on committees, whether it's bylaw committees or whatever. I accept these things, and I accept them without pay. Mm-hmm. And that's another distinction here.
Yes.
You know, you pay me to be your commissioner emeritus, Maricopa County Parks and Recreation, nothing.
Nothing. And yes, it's nothing. A volunteer position that you've put your heart and soul into.
And, it's a political appointment, and yeah. I took it to heart. And so do the other board members now on that board. They're all taking it to heart. I'm very proud of them. So
when I
amazing things.
I'm sorry, Dr. Bob. When I vote, I always vote for people that are constitutionalists, people that believe in our Constitution or Second Amendment. And I understand that you're kind of a Second Amendment guy, and you got to be a Second Amendment guy if you have a Gatling gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you have?
I do. I have a 9mm Tippmann Armory Gatling gun, and had it built for me during COVID.
Uh-huh.
And the little story behind that, remember when they sent out these stimulus checks?
Yep.
Well, when they were sending out the stimulus check, they sent them to our house because we had, you know, our business was in politics and that was pretty much closed down. So they sent that to me. And I told my wife, Adele, I said, and she agreed, we should send that back. We don't need it. We should send it back. And why increase the debt? Well, that just so happened to fall on poker night. I enjoy a good game of poker. I enjoy a good cigar, and I enjoy a good bourbon every now and then. But that our monthly poker game, one of the persons there was a for Perryville Women's Prison. He was a guard, and he said, "Oh, all the women are happy down at Perryville." And I said, "Why?" Well, they all got their stimulus checks. It was like they got their what? They got their stimulus checks. I go, so their families didn't get the stimulus check. They got the stimulus check. He said, yeah. And I said, their victims didn't get the stimulus check. They got the stimulus. Yeah. I went back home that night and I ordered my Gatling gun. I just, awesome. You know, if this is where America's heading, I want one. So.
Yeah, they are fun. Oh, that's cool.
Fantastic.
It is. It is. So, well, yeah, I also bought a Henry Sidegate 4570 made for me during COVID. That was the first, 2020 was the first year that Henry came out with a side gate. Yeah. And because they're always tube loaded. So I thought I'd buy it. And since they were closed down for about 7 months, it's a very low number gun. And I'm very pleased to have it.
You come out and support. You've been there consistently to the Second Amendment rally that I am part of organizing on the lawn of the Arizona State Capitol each February. And one of the things that we say at that rally is for our audience, our, you know, the people that show up to support it, to look around at who is there and who isn't there, right? We have a lot of legislators who want to, you know, say, oh yeah, I'm Second Amendment, but they don't bother to show up. They don't bother to go out there and get to know the people that they're representing. And you have consistently been out there. I've noticed, I appreciate it. And to me, that really also is kind of putting your, you know, money, time is money, right? So it's putting your money where your mouth is, putting your time, your most finite resource out there where your mouth is. And I just want my listeners to know that about you. You're a firearms owner, you're a huge supporter of the Second Amendment. And one piece of evidence of that, which I think is very telling, is that you take the time to come out and support that rally.
Well, I'll tell you what, the whole nation should, you know, very much tip their hat to you for even having that rally.
Thank you.
That's a monumental task. And, you know, and
it's fun, though. Like, we love it.
And I'll tell you, the speakers that you have are wonderful there. And, you know, when I get to be a Board of Supervisor member, I hope that I'm invited to speak there because it'd be an honor.
I would love to help that happen. And I'm excited about your campaign. You've got all your signatures in. You've got way more signatures than you even needed. I think that the groundswell is definitely in your favor. We just need to close the deal on Election Day. Are there any other milestones to hit between now and then, or is it just a matter of getting the word out?
Well, we have 3 months before the ballots come out, and it's a very short race. You know, Clint dropping out of the race, this made this a very short race. And right now it's binary. It's between me and my opponent. That's it. And so in 3 months' time, I need people to think. And we need to get that word out. I think, John, keep doing these videos. We get people out on social media, lauding these videos, sending them out there. You know, this is grassroots, right? This is grassroots at its finest. You know, there's no way I'm going to be able to outspend my opponent. You know, it's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But the people are behind this, too. We turned in 2,882 signatures. We only needed 1,009, and we got those in a little over 6 weeks. And to me, that was a monumental task. And, you know, I had people come in, I've never even met them. You know, here's 60 signatures. And it's just like, God bless you. Oh, I went walking these last 2 weeks. It's just like that means something to a grassroots candidate like myself. So, you know, people like you put me on their podcast. Hopefully, you know, this helps. And, you know, let's just keep getting it done, right? So
I love it.
So I have one comment, Dr. Branch. I got one of the first Tippmanns that came to Arizona.
And we're back to guns there. Again. And, that didn't take long.
And I had a manufacturer license, so I could make anything I want. And I made one of those full auto.
Right. Well, we had the
legally.
License at the
I had
time.
Legally made it full auto. So Right. Anyway, it's a fun gun. I'm super happy that you're a gun owner and you're a Second Amendment guy.
Absolutely.
And we wish you the best of luck.
We have to have a shoot someday. I'd love to do that. Awesome. I've been asking Cheryl to, you know, if we could do something out Joe Foss or whatever, but yeah, I want to do that. And
okay.
God bless you. And I'm glad that you got one of those because they're a lot of fun.
They are.
Well, we all know that getting back to the campaign instead of guns, boys.
Your show is about guns, too.
That's so true, right?
Freedom, right?
That's right. We all know that campaigns run on manpower, volunteers, and on money. And your opponent apparently has a lot of money. So tell folks how, wherever they are there limits on how much they can give? Are there limits on, will I have to live in Maricopa County in order to donate? You know, tell us a little bit about that and tell folks how they can contribute and support what you do, whether it's websites or social media pages. Go.
I appreciate that. You know, all you have to do is be a U.S. citizen and anywhere in the United States. And if we haven't demonstrated that Maricopa County is a U.S. issue and not just a county issue here, Maricopa County election integrity, I hope people from all over the nation goes to vote4branch.com. That's vote4branch.com and click on that donate button because I need A lot of funds. Now, you could donate an individual up to $6,650. So husband and wife, a little over $13,300 they can contribute. And we're hoping that we have inspired, because that's what leaders do. They should inspire, inspire you to come out and either A, as Cheryl said, donate your time, you know, or your fortune, right? As the Declaration of Independence say, and that's what we need. We need people to back this. I do need funding. I want to be on the radio. People say I have a good radio voice. Unfortunately, I got a good radio face too, and a lot of you know, the reality is we're going to go out and we're working our tails off, and we're going to win this, and we're going to win it because people like you out there are supporting us. And we will reinstore election integrity in Arizona and in Maricopa County. You can count on that. So God bless you, folks, and God bless you for having me on here today.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for everything. And I also know that, you know, if you've got the 6,000 or the 13,000, fantastic, send it over. But a lot of times it's those $5, $10, $25 donations that push people up over the top. And I just really encourage folks to do that, because it will come back as an investment in leadership under candidates like Bob Branch. Dr. Bob, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time, and we wish you well in your endeavors.
Thank you, ma'am. And you have a wonderful day, and thank you all for having me on.
All right, bye-bye
now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, he is so much fun. Like I said, the minute we met each other, we just kind of clicked and found out all the different ways that we are connected, all the different people that we have as friends in common. And, you know, as I said, we met at an NRA event recently, but once I, you know, met him and we were talking, I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. You have been at all of these rallies. I, you know, how your brain starts filling in all of these Second Amendment rallies that we'd, put on. And, you know, that really means something, that he wasn't an invited speaker. He wasn't there, you know, selling anything. He took his time to come out and support what we do. And I really think that speaks volumes.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know, Cheryl, I was thinking about going shooting this weekend, but it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, your hands sweat, and I am getting all sloppy on the target and stuff. Do you have any recommendations for me?
Well, Dan, as a matter of fact, I do. Perfect lead-in to our great friends over at The Complete Combatant have created a product called Locked In Grip. It is a liquid shooting sports chalk that, once applied on your hands, helps you maintain that perfect grip so that you are controlling your firearm and getting those nice tight groupings, whether you're just out plinking or if you're competing at the highest levels. It is a grip enhancer that keeps your hands free of moisture to create a slip-free connection to the action of your shooting, to shooting your firearm. LockedInGrip.com is the website. Go visit it today. Get yourself some, get your friends some.
Ah, but here's the problem. Hmm. I mean, it does lock in good. I guarantee you that. Hmm. But my grip is just terrible anyway, no matter what.
Well, that's training.
But after I go shooting all day and I come home, I would like to have a nice, big, juicy steak. Where would you get that?
Well, Dan, thank you again for the segue. I want to make our viewers and listeners aware of and invite them, consider this your personal invitation to join a private, invitation-only shopping club that is helping our family and millions of families across the nation to cut the cord on those huge corporations that use our own money to diminish our freedoms and individual liberties.
And you know, I want to stop you there, because I remember even years ago when my dad was around and he was fighting the anti-guns, there was lists of corporations that was a mile long of your shaving products, your deodorant, your sodas, all these things that these people were supporting anti-gun groups, or supporting groups like the United Nations, who was anti-gun at the time. And
still.
And right. And so your money's going to go to who?
your money through this organization, this, I'm going to jump ahead of myself and say, if you go to patriothousehold.com/GFR, a portion of everything that you spend there supports American people in American jobs, on American soil, making American-made products. And it also supports the work that we do. And so from your laundry soap to your skincare to delicious snacks to wonderful beef products like steaks and hamburgers, you can shop as you need it. Or what I like to do is set my shopping list for the month and forget it. And then at my door, here comes the FedEx guy or the UPS guy with my package. And it couldn't be any easier
Christmas,
than that.
It? Every day, because you forget it and you got a package. Well, what did my husband send me today?
What right? did I send myself today?
And
absolutely.
The cool thing is, where's the beef? It's American, baby.
I love
That's
that.
Right.
Well, it's convenient. It supports the work that we do. It supports American jobs. It also supports an organization called the Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org, in the work that they do with all of the lawsuits that they are filing in every state across the nation to push back on these anti-gun laws. So patriothousehold.com/GFR for Gun Freedom Radio. Do it today. All right. Until next time, we are going to, I forgot to thank our guest, Dr. Bob Branch.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And our guests, even that one guy over there.
That one, our listeners.
Yes.
Yeah, that one guy over there. Thank you so much. All over the planet. When there is internet, we have viewers and listeners, and your time is your most finite resource. When you spend it with us, we notice. We thank you, and it matters. Thank you so much. If you want to rewatch this video or any of our videos, you can find that content at YouTube or GunStreamer on the OpsLens smartphone app. When you go to those platforms, this is important. Click the subscribe and the notifications buttons, and here's why. That tells those platforms that you value what we talk about on this show. You value the information that our subject matter experts bring to the airwaves. And it gives us a hedge against that cancel culture. So please do that. If you want to listen to the audio only version of any of our shows, you can go to our website, which is gunfreedomradio.com. Click the on demand tab and
binge listen to your heart content, darling.
And if you want to see photos and bios and links to all of the works that all of our guests have done, then click the guest tab. It is a growing resource of subject matter experts. And when you spend time there, we don't hate that. All right. Until next time, we are going to pray for this nation.
Pray for our leaders.
Absolutely. All of them, Dan. What about the ones you don't like?
Could I make a list of the ones I don't like and then we could discuss that?
No. We've got to pray for them too, maybe especially the ones we don't like, right? That'll help them maybe
it's
get on
so
the right track.
Though.
I know, so true. Well, we can fix that with the next election.
Yes.
All right. Until next time, be good to each other. Have a great week and God bless.
Bye-bye.